Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord. Amen. Jesus is giving a pep talk. It's the first preseason game, if you remember those. Or if you'd like a different metaphor, it is the first full run-through of the play. Practice, rehearsals are over. You have watched, played, listened, and learned. Well, now it's time to go out there, to put it all together. Your heart is pounding. You might mess up. You might forget, and you don't feel quite ready, and you want more time. And Jesus is looking very serious. It's very exciting and very scary. You have no idea what to expect, how this will go, what the future holds. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Jesus is giving a pep talk. In the Gospel of Matthew, there are five teaching discourses. The first is the Sermon on the Mount, which is the most familiar. And the second is this section of Matthew, where Jesus is teaching the 12 about discipleship, what it means to believe in him and to be his disciple. It's called the mission discourse. He is preparing them to go out on their own on a mission. He is preparing them for the future. Last Sunday, his disciples got their instructions. Don't take extra clothes, a staff, money, or anything that gives you privilege or even protects you. Trust the Father to give you the words to say. Pay attention to who welcomes you and who does not. And go about your business, healing the sick and casting out demons, tending to those in need, as you proclaim that the kingdom of heaven is near, that there is another way, the way of love. Did you know that the word disciple comes from the Latin discere, which means learner? Apostles are messengers, and the disciples will become that. But here, they are disciples, and they are to learn by doing. We are disciples, and we are to learn by doing. It's no accident that in today's gospel, Jesus says, "Do not be afraid," three times. And we hear that a lot in the Bible, but usually the "be not afraid" has to do with the sudden appearance of an angel as the messenger of God. Jesus speaks to different fears, fears that we all know too well. Fears of failure, rejection, ridicule, physical pain, fear of difference of other people, of enemies, and even our families. Fearing rejection, anger, or disappointment from those we love the most. The disciples have every reason to be afraid. The world is dangerous, and they are going into unknown territory without him. So last Sunday were the instructions. This Sunday is the pep talk, theirs and ours. Jesus lays it all out for them. He doesn't sugarcoat it. You are my disciples. You said yes. You have been given gifts. You have listened and learned. And you are ready. You will need to be brave. You will be vulnerable, just like your teacher. You will need courage to speak out loud what you have learned from me. The kingdom of heaven is near. There is another way, a way of justice and love. You will shine a light into the darkness. What we have spoken about late in the dark of night, You will need now to proclaim in the light from the rooftops. Some will receive you and some will not. Loyalty to me above all else disrupts households. Following me brings discomfort to the comfortable. Speaking truth to power disturbs the peace, the status quo. I never said it would be easy. I did not come to bring peace to the earth, but a sword. Not a sword to kill, but a sword to cut free the ropes that keep some out. A sword to disrupt and dismantle what is unequal and unfair. A sword to pierce protective bubbles in order to make way for a new creation, for the kingdom of heaven. Keep steady. Don't be afraid. You are my disciples, my truth tellers, my instruments of peace. Most of all, know that you are so loved by God that even your little tiny hairs are all counted. You are to love me above all things, yes, even your family. And sometimes you may even have to stand up to them, the ones you love most. But you are not alone. You are ready. Go. Are we ready? You and me? I think so. At least to start. So we need a pep talk from Jesus now more than ever. Teach us how to be your disciples, Jesus, in this world. Teach us how to continue to serve others in this pandemic and to stay diligent in our practices. Teach us to face all this technology and the future with curiosity and a determination to learn new things and to understand that the new world we have entered is not separate from you, God, that like it or not, technology used for good is you working in the world just as much as the beauty of nature. We need a pep talk to give us courage to continue to see your people in the world with new eyes. Already we have begun to see injustices we never noticed before. Help us to learn as your disciples how we confront racism in ourselves and in our country. I think Jesus would say, we begin with ourselves. We begin with our stories. Ibram Kendi argues that the heartbeat of racism is denial. The heartbeat of anti-racism is confession. I've directed the musical Peter Pan twice. I loved it as a child, singing all the songs as I desperately tried to fly, leaping from one piece of furniture to another. So as an adult, I jumped at the chance to direct it, complete with all the flying apparatus that magically brought Peter flying through the bedroom window. What I didn't see at first was the demeaning portrayal of the Indians. Tiger Lily led the Indians in stereotypical comic dances, singing gibberish vowel sounds as lyrics. I viewed it through the eyes of my childhood, and I loved the energy and the fun and happily directed it. The second time, I knew better. There had been objections to other productions about the offensive portrayal of the Indians, and my conscience was pricked, but not enough to override my justifications that this was just a musical. It was fun, and it would be great for the actors and for the tech crews. No one will care. It won't matter. I have come to understand the pain it caused every Native American I met. And it's important for me to own that. No defenses or excuses or dramatic apologies. Just to own it. First, it was my ignorance. Second, it was my insensitivity and my arrogance. And so I have prayed prayers of repentance, and I have asked for forgiveness. Robin DiAngelo, in her book White Fragility, that so many of us are reading, points out that we who are white have such a hard time looking at ourselves because we believe deep down that a good person can't be a racist. The truth is, we are both. I am both. Seeing ourselves through a different lens is painful. But if we don't look, nothing changes. So give us that pep talk, Jesus, to give us the strength we need to change, the strength we need to tell our stories, the strength we need to forgive, the strength we need to walk in your love. Amen.